I'm here this morning with the professor of vocal jazz and director of Gold Company at Western Michigan University, Greg Jaspers. And we have Western Michigan University junior Gold Company member and assistant producer of The Miller Show, Sarah Olson. We're going to be talking about a concert this Friday, the Gold Company and GC2 sneak peek. It starts at 8 o'clock Friday night in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Greg and Sarah, thanks for joining me here today.
Thanks, Kara. Happy to be here.
Do we have lots to talk about?
We've got lots to talk about. Yes, indeed. No, we're really excited about this show this Friday. As you know, you've had a guest here on the show, Mr. Peter Eldridge, several times. And when he's our artist in residence here at Western. And when we were looking at the calendar, we found out that the weekend of our sneak preview was also a great time for him to come and spend a couple days with the students. And so for the first time since I've been here, we're going to have a guest artist on our sneak preview. So Friday's concert will be Gold Company, GC2, and Mr. Peter Eldridge. So we're really thrilled about that.
Peter Eldridge, you're right. I have met him a few times, and to know him is to love him. And just to admire his, you know, when he decides that he wants to invest in young people, he commits. And that's so the effects of several years here at Western have been pretty profound.
Yeah, I think so. He started coming here, you know, the same year that I moved here to take the job. But when you talk about his commitment to the kids, you know, my jazz colleagues, I always marvel that almost every year Peter has come on the Gold Company retreat with us and gone out to this outdoor education center and slept on a horrible mattress and a bunk bed and, you know, just to put the time in with the kids out there and rehearse and share his music and do listening with them and just expose them to singers that he loves. So his investment is, once he decides that he wants to participate and be a part of something, he really goes all in. Yeah. And it's clear that the students really respond to that as well. They really enjoy that time.
Sarah, when you came to Western Michigan University, were you really sure that you wanted to be in Gold Company, or did it come about in a different way?
I was definitely sure that I wanted. Actually, Gold Company was the reason that I came here. I am from North Dakota, so I went to a jazz camp up there, and I met an adjudicator named Michelle Mayo, and she is an alum of here, and she said, if you like jazz, then this is the place to go, and that one conversation was all it took. So I guess I'm easy on that front, and here we are.
North Dakota, did you say?
Yes.
Where?
It's 1,056 miles west of here and north.
what town?
For being precise, Minot, North Dakota.
Minot,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's one of the bigger towns, I guess.
Yeah, we have four, so that's one of them.
There are four big towns.
There are four big towns, yep.
Vocal jazz, was it school? Was it radio, watching television?
It was definitely school. For most high schools throughout the United States, there are all-state vocal jazz, and I know that you have gone around, I'm not sure how many states you've gone to, and directed it, but we bring in all of these amazing directors, many of which who come from Western. And my junior year, I met a woman named Jennifer Scavell Parker, and she is an alum of here. Mm-hmm. And my junior year, I was like, okay, this was cool. This was kind of fun. And then my senior year, I was directed by Julia Dollison, who was in Mr. Jaspers' vocal jazz group, Vertical Voices, and then she kind of like sealed the deal for me, and then I was kind of deciding what I wanted to do and how to pursue it when Michelle Mayo that summer said, come to Western, and that was it.
Was it intimidating? I mean, you came from a smaller pool of singers, and then here you could almost talk yourself into being intimidated before you get here. How did it turn out?
I'm a very extroverted person, I would say, and I have a pretty great support group at home. My parents have always said, well, we'll support you for whatever you want to try, and by all means, if you want to audition, I'll drive you out to Michigan in the middle of February. My dad came with me, and it was like 3 years ago, so it was a pretty big snowstorm here. Like, the whole campus was shut down, but I've always gone after what I've wanted, and if I fail, then I fail, and I learn from my mistakes and try to move forward, but I've been pretty lucky so far, and I do try to work hard and make improvements, and yeah.
And Sarah came in with a pretty remarkable freshman class as well, so it's just fun. I mean, you know, I guess the track record the last couple of years has been that every freshman class has been pretty remarkable. Right. But, you know, these three or four really talented freshmen all come in together, and you know, they have a lot of overlapping experience from their high school days, and they kind of get to navigate the first few months of life at Western together. So that was fun to watch that. And there were actually seven of them at the very beginning.
There's a lot.
There were, you know, I think I had four slots in the program that year. And you never know who's going to, all these kids are auditioning at a lot of different places. And so I accepted eight, thinking four would come, and seven said yes. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it was a lot of freshmen. It was great. But yeah, Sarah's keeping good company with that class. So.
Definitely good friends and good influences, like, really make all the difference. Like, when you're surrounded by people who are working hard, you want to work just as hard as they do, and you don't want to like stop until they're done. Like, if you're practicing, I'm not just going to go take a nap. So
right. So Sarah, I've never asked you this, but I mean, before the Allstate Jazz Choir, had you been exposed to jazz before? Like, what compelled you in Minot, North Dakota, to even audition for the Allstate Jazz Choir?
There's not much swinging out there. and I knew that I liked singing in general, and there is some classical music out there, and I just wasn't very good at it. And so my choir director said, you're not doing so hot in this aspect. Why don't you just audition for the jazz? And I was like, this seems a little easier at the time. I thought it was easier. And I had no idea of anything about jazz until my junior year. And then I just kind of, I started liking it more and more throughout.
And when just, you find out it's not as easy as it looks, it's too late. The bug has bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I should remind listeners, I'm talking to Sarah Olson, who is a member of Gold Company and will be part of the Sneak Peek this Friday at 8 o'clock at the Dalton Center Recital Hall, which also features guest artist Peter Eldridge. And Greg Jaspers is here as well. He's professor of vocal jazz and director of Gold Company. But the way he's worked it, puts a lot of responsibility into student hands. You mentioned the retreat earlier, and this is a little off topic, but I am curious to hear any stories of how fun the Monterey Jazz Festival was.
Oh, thanks for asking.
Because last time we talked on the radio, it was to preview Gold Company going to California in celebration of.
That's right. We were discussing the kickoff concert in Grand Rapids, and then the trip the next day. Yeah, that was to catch listeners up too. That was last year's Gold Company. So all of the people from last year's Gold Company came back to Kalamazoo to rehearse and get ready for that, with the exception of our bass player, whose unfortunate excuse is that he's spending a year in China. So we didn't have the budget to bring him back. But everybody else made it, including Hannah Truckenbrode, who's on the road with the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Like, she subbed out the Glenn Miller dates so she could be here. And the commitment from the students for that event was really overwhelming and great to see. They sang wonderfully, and the festival is overwhelming and inspiring at the same time. It's seven stages running all at the same time, and then the giant arena stage, two giant shows a day as well. So, you know, everyone kind of wanders in and out of concerts, including our concert. People, you know, you kind of craft a whole half-hour set that really, you know, you hope packs a punch. But then some folks just come in for one or two songs and wander back out. But it's just the nature of the festival. And then we performed on Saturday, but we stayed until Monday so they could hear all the rest of the jazz there. And I've never seen these kids so excited and enthused. They stayed until the very last concert was done. You know, I think we were driving up, you know, we just had three minivans, and so we're going back and forth. We were going to pick up the last group of kids at like 12:30 at night, and I was texting them, like, you know, leave the artists alone. They were busy taking pictures with the last group that had performed, and, you know, so they were just, yeah, it was an amazing trip.
Are you always looking for opportunities to put Gold Company in competition or showcase them at a conference? Or is that something that's part of your, you know, vision for each year?
Well, yeah, I would say maybe not each year producing something like that. I mean, that was, you know, we had to raise a lot of money to get back out to Monterey. It was partially funded through some grants here, but then we had some very generous donors that recognized the significance of the invitation. It was Western Michigan University's debut at the Monterey Jazz Festival. Even the New York Voices have never played the Monterey Jazz Festival before. And so it's, you know, that was a pretty epic opportunity. You know, you do want Gold Company to, I mean, you do have to maintain your profile in the different circles that sort of where we live and where students are going to come from and where teachers are going to hear you and recommend this program to their students. And at the same time, it has to be educational for the students themselves. The experience has to be, you know, like going to Monterey, but then letting them hear all of the other music too. So they, as musicians, are more excited and inspired. And you have to balance that with just the demands of the members of Gold Company as students at this university, you know, and participating in other ensembles and in other programs. And in Gold Company, even this year, not all of us are music majors. We have a music theater major. We've got an accounting major. So, yeah, I mean, if I had my druthers, Gold Company would have our own bus, like the Partridge Family, and, you know, we'd be our own jet. No, but you know, I really love touring and love rehearsing and love, you know, the performance aspect of it all. But so I keep my eyes open for things. We've got several significant runouts this year, and even some more invitations coming in. So it's going to be an exciting year, sort of in a different direction, but still really, really exciting, I think, for me and for the students.
Would you say Facebook is probably the best way to keep the most current idea of what's going on with Gold Company, or is there a website?
No, you know, right now I think Facebook allows us to, you know, it's, yeah, that we've got the Gold Company page on Facebook. That's the best way to follow that. And any alums of the Gold Company program are welcome to join the Gold Company alumni page as well, which we started last year as a way to reach out and connect with the alums who were coming back for GC40, which was last year's, you know, big annual show. So, in fact, that's why, you know, this, what we're doing on Friday night is still called Sneak Preview, because it's really, Steve Zagree started it as a way to sort of, you know, show your hand a little bit about what was coming in February. And so this coming February, we're doing a show called The Great American Songbook, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And we just had a meeting last night with the music producers at my house to talk about, you know, who are, like, really, we had a list, I think, of like 80, yeah, 90 people that we thought were, you know, the voices that needed to be represented. And of course, you can't sing all of those people's songs.
That was a small list. That was the cut down.
That was the cut down list. So yeah, it's exciting to craft a show and a concert about that. So that's what we're going to be doing some of on Friday night is singing some of the music of the Great American Songbook and getting people excited about that.
It'll be at the Dalton Center, not at Miller, and it'll be at 8:00 on Friday. And I think we should take a break and hear some music.
Perfect. Well, speaking of the Great American Songbook, we have, I brought the New York Voices recording of On a Clear Day. Gold Company is singing this arrangement, but we've never recorded it. And frankly, I've never taught it or directed it before. I've heard it so many times from the New York Voices. And I was like, I want to teach that chart. It's a really great chart, and it has solo opportunity for some students at the front. And so it's a really lovely setting of On a Clear Day.
Around you,
The New York Voices with an arrangement of On a Fine Day, on a clear day, I should say. And we are with Greg Jaspers and Sarah Olson. The Gold Company and GC2 sneak preview is this Friday at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Peter Eldridge will be a guest, and he's expected to sing, you know, on stage.
Indeed.
On
yeah.
In combination with the ensembles.
Yeah, he's going to sing a little bit with GC2 and with Gold Company and do a couple numbers himself. So it's going to be exciting.
So the two ensembles are for different degrees of experience, and Gold Company is where you find seniors and grad students, mm-hmm. and sometimes juniors and sometimes even freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And then in GC2, is it a larger ensemble than
GC2 really fluctuates. Right now, it's I think it's smaller than Gold Company. It's 11 singers, and I think last spring it was like 17
or
18.
At one point, there was 21 of us last year.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We were moving around.
A cast of thousands. But ever since we started auditioning the groups every semester, I find that the size of GC2 really fluctuates more. And I think that's because it is more non-jazz majors. It's music ed majors, music therapy majors. It's students who want a little bit of exposure and experience to this idiom. And perhaps they're doing a recital one semester or an internship another semester. And so it allows students to have an experience in the Gold Company program without having to commit an entire year. A lot of times I was hearing when I got here from some of my colleagues that, you know, we support this program and we want our students to have that experience. But if it's an entire year or not at all, and they have a recital or a sophomore hearing, you know, there are a lot of other things that the kids are trying to accomplish as well. And so it really, I mean, it really has kind of changed the dynamic of the program too. Every once in a while, somebody will audition at the break from GC2 and move up to Gold Company. Gold Company's personnel has not always stayed the same from one semester to the next either. It's more stable, but it's not always the same. And GC2 this year, this semester, is 11 singers in a four-piece rhythm section, and it's still conducted by our amazing Grammy Award-winning graduate student, Mr. John Prue, who wasn't even here last week because he was playing Catalina Jazz Club in Los Angeles and Birdland in New York City.
What are you gonna
and
do?
You know, no, John, you must stay home. But so we're really excited that he's here and a part of our program these past couple years.
Sarah, would you consider yourself a typical music major? And if so, what does your week look like in terms of division of labor and time and energy?
I would definitely consider myself a typical music major, because that kind of defines us as constant classes. A lot of our classes are only 2 or 3 credits and, you know, three-day-a-week classes. And some of my classes are 1 hour and 15 minutes and only 2 credits. So it's very difficult if you want to graduate in 4 years. Like, there's really no way to do that without taking on some heavy summer classes as work. And I know I've got my work cut out for me this coming summer.
Already thinking about that?
Oh, 100%. You have to plan ahead, or else that's how you fall behind. And then you're here an extra semester or extra year or two. My week typically consists of trying to get the homework for my classes out of the way as quickly as possible, and then focusing on my charts for the next week, my personal music for Greg's program, vocal jazz program, and just trying to improve on weaknesses, because, like, everyone has them, and Gold Company music, making sure that's memorized correctly and...
Memorized.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot.
So you are working with a full score, as it were, looking at your chart, which would include your vocal line plus chords, and you can work on it on your own without the support of other musicians.
Right, right. And this coming semester, actually in November, is when I have my recital. So this is the first time that I'm really considering, like, oh, I have to make parts for, like, a bass and drums.
You have to.
I do. But that's actually what I needed his help before, what he was talking about earlier. But not necessarily every single song has to have a whole separate staff for other instruments. It's just if you want them to do something specific. But the chords are there. And then if I want to create something specific or my own melodies or, you know, intros and outros, that's all me. So, and I have an accompanist who works with me throughout the whole semester. And it's really interesting to just watch yourself grow as you work with them, because this is the first time that I've ever had someone who's been constantly playing for me. So that's one of the biggest,
by the way?
His name is Nicholas Olenchu. And you learn almost just as much from them as you do from Greg in your lesson, because he'll point you in the direction that we should take or that different directions that we could try out. And then I figure it out with my accompanist. So
Nicholas is actually a grad student here. And we were talking about Allstate choirs before. I met Nicholas as a 10th grader when he was sang bass in one of I've conducted the Nassau All County Jazz Ensemble out on Long Island twice now. And he was a bass in my first choir when I did that.
He
was in 10th grade. And then he went to University of North Texas for jazz piano. And he came here for his master's to do a combination of jazz piano and jazz voice. But Nicholas just won the Jacksonville Jazz Piano Competition and took second in the American Jazz Piano Competition. So he's really a serious musician. And he'll just be playing the piano for my students, and I just laugh at something he just does in the moment. And so I'm sure it would be exhilarating for him to be your collaborative partner. In this program we call, we really refer to those partners at the piano as collaborative partners. So we understand that in that setting, both parties are equal in bringing the music to life. And so in the lessons, too, we will ask, Nicholas, what's your position on that? Or what would you like to experience differently? Or do you have an idea about something? So that everyone is vested in the music. And
university programs have changed the names of their program from piano accompanying to piano collaborating, mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. to acknowledge that special role that informed pianists can bring to a vocal and piano setting.
Yeah, exactly.
And it sounds like Nicholas has a lot to bring.
definitely does.
Yeah.
May we hear another song from that previews Friday night's show?
Well, sure. This is a piece that Peter wrote with a lyricist named Cliff Goldmacher, and it's called Wish You With Me. And this is Peter's solo version, but we do have an arrangement of this that we're going to present on Friday night.
Whose arrangement? Will it be a collaborative?
It's Peter's arrangement. Yeah, so he did an arrangement of it this past summer for the New York Voices Vocal Jazz Camp. And so the group that he directed at the camp, they sang it. And so, yeah.
Here it is. Peter Eldridge there with a song of his own writing, not a boop or a bop or a skinny or a scat in there at all. Which is one of the things that if you, it's been a while since you decided to check out some vocal jazz, you will be surprised and delighted that it's such a variety of styles and eras now. It's, we're not all trying to emulate a certain era or band or group the whole time. There's so much to choose from these days.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So Peter Eldridge will be at the concert on Friday, performing with Gold Company and GC2. It's a sneak peek of the Miller Show, which is coming up in February, as always. And I'm here with Greg Jaspers, the director of Gold Company, and Sarah Olson, who I'm meeting for the first time, a junior at Western, and will be assistant producing the Miller Show. Do you know what that means, actually?
I'm about to find out. So our head producer, Yanni, Janos Chonka, he produced the show last year, and we didn't have assistant producers last year, I don't believe. And this year, there's actually two of us, myself and Dewey Bowles, and Yanni said, basically, I'm going to just kind of show you two how to produce. He's like, he'll still be doing things, but he's like, I want you guys to know how to do this when I leave, because he's a super senior or something. And we are also creating a new, what we call a Bible. And a Bible is a whole schedule of what we're doing and what's planned out for next week and like what committees are doing what to have it done and comfortable when the deadline comes. And then that hopefully that will be our Bible for all the shows to come, and something that we can look back to next year and the years after that, edit it if we need to, but hopefully we don't need to make too many corrections.
There is a mysteriously missing binder somewhere that what used to be called the Miller book, and it was, again, like sort of a guide to producing the Miller Show, and everybody referred to it when I got here. We have never been able to find it. So,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, which is fine because, you know, things are a little bit different. But
you
they're
had to
like
rewrite it.
Yeah, so they're rewriting it. And you know, last year after GC40, Something Gold, Something New, we performed that in Dalton's Recital Hall. We did a Friday night concert and two on Saturday. And 40 years of alums and people who had been to many shows at Miller, they said, we just feel like we were in the middle of it here in the recital hall, and it just felt so immersive. And so we were there because Miller had booked Phantom of the Opera, I believe,
yeah,
the weekend
Lion
that
King.
We normally do it. Yeah. And so I think we're doing it in the recital hall again this year.
You're thinking, oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody said, please do the recital hall again. So, you know, and part of that I do think is, I mean, jazz has always been more intimate of a listening experience, you know, where you do feel like you are right next to the performers. The more you know about the musical conversation that's happening, the more enjoyable it is, and it's easier to be a part of it if you're sitting closer. And I don't know, I popped out into the auditorium or in the recital hall last year. Once Jeff Chafin was here with the lights and Brian Farina with sound, and it really was an experience that was just washing over me. It was pretty amazing. So, yeah. So the kids still call it Miller Show, but
okay.
Yeah, but
don't let that fool you.
But don't let that fool you. I'm not sure what's happening in Miller Auditorium that weekend, but what Sarah's working on will be in the recital hall. It doesn't mean your work is any easier.
Right, you're right. And I do think that it is a better experience all around in the recital hall because the audience is closer to us physically and they can see what's happening more and they're just more immersed. And it's so much nicer for the performers to look out and not just see a whole row of empty seats and a balcony of nothingness. And we just see people basically from front to back. Hopefully it was mm-hmm. last year. I think mm-hmm. it'll be again this year. And it's just I just think more pleasant and more connected.
Well, it's such
all
a relationship,
yeah.
you know, between the audience and the performer
yeah.
in an art form like this, you know, where you know, people applaud solos in the middle of the performance, right? As soon as the solo, you know, there's immediate feedback. And when we were in Miller Auditorium, the audiences were great. They, I mean, they loved the show, but they, even if they're applauding out there in Miller Auditorium, there's a little sound delay, you know, before you hear it on stage.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, what's really a healthy audience looks like a smaller audience,
yeah,
in a cavern like Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And as, if I can name drop, as Branford Marsalis told me last week, jazz has never, you know, had a mass audience. It's been something that smaller numbers of people love, and its practitioners also. Not a lot of people choose to be jazz musicians, and what you do is give it the love you have, and create moments that are intimate, like within the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Again, the concert is Friday at 8 o'clock, and you can find tickets online through the Miller Auditorium box office, or the link is at the School of Music page, wmich.edu/music/events. And I think we might hear another song before we wrap up.
Sure. Why don't we play... this is a song called Sent For You Yesterday, and this is off from Gold Company's most recent CD. It's a collaboration. Peter was here for the recording, so it's with Peter Eldridge guest starring on this track as well.
Yesterday, here you come today. I sent for you yesterday, here you come today. Well, how can you love me and treat me that way? Well, you know, I sent for you yesterday. Yes, I did.
That's the New York Voices, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was actually Gold Company.
That was Gold Company with Peter
Eldridge. With Peter Eldridge, yeah.
See, that's amazing. You guys sound great.
Thanks.
Got an awesome track. If you tuned in during the music, I'm with Greg Jaspers, professor of vocal jazz and director of Gold Company, and junior Sarah Olson, who came to Western Michigan University after falling in love with vocal jazz at home in Minot, North Dakota. And the sneak preview is this Friday in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. So have you had a few occasions now to work with Peter Eldridge, Sarah?
I have had a few occasions, and they're all better than the last.
They just keep getting better.
Right, honestly. I mean, even from the very beginning, my first chance to get to work with him, I was a freshman, and it was a master class, and I think it was called like an opposites master class, where you do a song the same way you've always done it, and you get used to doing it that way, and you have a habit of doing it that way, and that's your strength. And then Peter comes and he's like, let's do it the complete opposite. And then he's playing the piano for us, and it's just go from there, and then he'll build you up. And one of the many beautiful things about Peter, I think, is that he finds a way to work with your strengths to improve your weaknesses. So I did a song, I Can't Give Anything But Love, and it was super up-tempo, and that's how everyone does it. And then he's like, let's do it as a ballad. And especially at that time, I had no idea how to sing a ballad. And he just brought out a whole other side of me that I literally had never even known existed before. And it was just vulnerable and honest, and he was just like, let's just keep playing in this area. And just and that was the first time he'd ever heard me. He didn't know me from before, obviously. He's never been to North Dakota, I don't think. No, actually, he has. He taught in Allstate there, I think, or something.
Yeah, probably.
Like that. But, you know, it's just, he heard me once, and then just like that, like, it's a moment that I'll never forget. And I'm like, wow, you give these to everyone that you interact with. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing to work with him. And then, yeah.
That's quite a gift.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. And then every other interaction, too, like, he's so nice. He's like, he remembers you. And he's like, let's start where we picked off or where let's, you know,
left off.
Thank you. And it's just a constant growing process. And he's just so inspiring to listen to and talk to.
Is he honest about his own strengths and weaknesses, too? Will he tell you about his...
I think so, yeah. I mean, I remember... it was last year, I think he was here first and second semester or just second?
Both. He was here both
semesters.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking, I was like, you know, it's difficult when you're in this major and you're from out of state, so you have student debt. And I was like, my family's very supportive, but they're also like, girl, what are you doing? And he's like, he was just open. He was like, I've had to work my butt off just to keep my head above water. And I'm a professor at Berkeley now. And he's like, now I'm after all these years, I finally feel like I'm safe financially. And then he was just giving me advice and tips, and he's like, be smart with your money, I guess you could. It sounds so good when it comes to Peter, but just, you know,
I mean, that's advice anybody over 40 will start giving but
he's always I'd say he's always honest.
He risked, you know,
yeah, definitely
his he risked his some of his earning years for something he loved, you
for
know?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard him teach so many times, though, where what he's presenting, he'll say, this is something that I had to learn myself, or this is, you know, trust me about this, what I'm about to say, mm-hmm. because I did it wrong for 5 years or 10 years or whatever. You know, he's no qualms about saying, hey, I learned this lesson the hard way and I'm here to teach you, you know.
So you don't have to.
No, he's himself, you know, right to the core.
And in an era where in the studio you can correct and fix just about any flaw, and many of our, you know, if you turn on pop radio, it does have that eerie, perfect sound mm-hmm. to it all. what I love about Peter Eldridge is he leaves the imperfections sometimes in his voice, and he stays relaxed. He doesn't sound like he's trying to cover up or hide anything. And with the group Moss, all of them bring distinct, let their own distinct sounds remain and not try to smooth out into some background mm-hmm. wash.
That's why I love him so much as a great representation for our students here, because they look at someone and say, you've had this amazing career, 30 years now with the New York Voices, and an amazing career as a singer, songwriter, composer, arranger, solo artist. And that's what the students at Western have to do. They're in the Gold Company program singing ensemble music, but at the same time, as jazz vocal performance majors, they're really exploring their own voice and their own vocal identity, the music, how it feels to them and where it lives in their heart and in their mind and their ear. And that's a lot. That's a huge gamut for students who are at this developmental stage in jazz. But you know, you got to jump all the way in, you know, and figure it out. So Peter's I think he's a great role model for that. I think he's really demonstrated that beautifully. And the New York Voices just finished recording, you know, another recording project. And Peter said that to me. He said, I always worry when I get into the New York Voices recording studio about, you know, blend and sound and matching Kim. And he goes, but I really felt so comfortable when I just said, just sing, you know, just use your voice. And with this instrument living inside us, we are vulnerable every day we open our mouth.
And it's what's so special about it.
Yeah.
My greatest joy in a concert is when, a singer finds themselves and they relax and you relax and you're suddenly in the palm of their hand. Mm-hmm. It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I wish I could do it.
Me too. I mean, it's amazing, especially for students, to have people come in who are so versatile and who dabble in so many things. Like the New York Voices, their blend is very smooth and it's perfect. And there's no fighting or on anything. That's it's exactly where it needs to be. And then I remember in a Moss masterclass, Lauren Kinnon, you know, she said, she's like, we're not going to try to blend together on this with this group. My voice is very different from everyone else's here, and their voices are all different than mine. And we're just going to be our own individuals, and then it's going to create this awesome sound. And then it does.
It did.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then you hear their individual soloist stuff, and it also takes you in a whole other direction. So we are not without a lack of ideas and inspiration here.
Yay.
I think we're going to have to leave it with that. We have just a few minutes left in this hour, and I'd like to remind listeners that you can hear Peter Eldridge, Gold Company, GC2, all on stage Friday night at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Facebook is a great place to follow Gold Company, and if you're an alumni of the program, join the Facebook group page to find out how you can still be a part of it and participate. Final words from you, Greg and Sarah?
Well, it's really exciting to have this be our first big on-campus presentation of this year's Gold Company and GC2, and going into our sixth year since I got here, to have Peter Eldridge appearing with us in this concert is going to be a lot of fun. And please come check out the new Gold Company and GC2 on Friday night.
Okay, Sarah, sell the show.
Working on it. Come see us. It'll be a great time, and we are working to make sure that you enjoy yourself.
Indeed.
It's really nice to meet you, Sarah.
Nice
and
to
thanks
meet you
for
too.
Coming back again. Greg, we'll see you.
Always a pleasure.
See you next time. This song is called Cloud.
It's called Cloudburst. Since we started the hour with the weather, I think this might be a great tune. This is actually the New York Voices recording, but we are singing this on Friday night, and tip of the hat to John Hendricks and Lambert Hendricks and Ross.
I was blue and I was always wearing a frown because my gal had turned me down. Then we met and you could bet I knew from the first you were my love, cause that's when the old way covers. My heart really flew the day you caught my eye. I hope that we two will never say goodbye. Silver linings when they're reversed.